Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this November 20th, 2023, 3:04 on the clock, got your host, James J. I am joined by Seth Habhager.
Good afternoon, everyone.
We appreciate you pitch hitting today, Seth.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here. Our third partner in crime around here with Randy and I. We say a shout out to Randy Paul out there working hard in the Assumption School District.
Yes, indeed.
In that school. We appreciate him. I appreciate all of you joining us. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. What do you want to talk about? Badgers, Packers, anything, track and field, water polo. It's your call, everybody. Call up and join the conversation, 424-2600. Otherwise, Seth and I got a handful of things, directions we want to go with today.
Yeah.
And we are hoping to talk with our friend, speaking of Assumption, Bob Brickhauser from over at Assumption, athletic director over there. Hopefully going to be able to join us to talk a little Cranberry Classic.
Yeah.
We will certainly be talking about that and getting into our schedule here at WFHR and WIRI. Seth, how are you doing this afternoon? You had to run around a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's school and kids and things. So, no, that's... Well, I made it back. I made it back in time.
You know, you are moving around, and so are some of the players in Major League Baseball.
That's true.
That wasn't bad. No. I did want to talk a little MLB free agency with you to kick things off.
Okay.
And really, where I want to begin is the non-tenured offers that we found out about, I believe, on Friday.
Yes.
There's some big names in there, but I think the biggest name, obviously, in this state is Brandon Woodruff.
Yep.
By all rights, it looks like Brandon Woodruff is not going to be with the Milwaukee Brewers anymore.
No, and that's almost guaranteed at this point. For those of you who don't know out there what non-tendered means in baseball, it means that it's usually when you're still under arbitration, which means this is before you hit free agency as a player. That means that you still, you know, you get raises every year depending on performance and what the team wants to pay you and all that kind of stuff. But if you're non-tendered, you're basically not offered a contract. And that means you are a free agent, free and easy, ready to go. Mm. So right now, Brandon Woodruff, of course, is not going to be pitching next year. He's going to be recovering from shoulder surgery. But I can totally see a team taking a flyer on him.
Oh, yeah.
Like a 2-year contract, 1 year to rehab, and then we'll see what you have in 2025. Oh, and I'm guessing you can get him at a pretty decent price right now.
Because
he's going to have to, he's going to want to prove himself and in 2026 be the big free agent and see what he can do. So that was an interesting, and I understand why the Brewers did it. But you made a comment with the pregame, James, before we were on the air. I think the Brewers window may have passed. Looking at what's all coming up here, I don't see Corbin Burns staying the whole season. Maybe the beginning of the year, he's going to get traded.
Yeah.
If the Brewers are not in contention, if he stays this year, we'll see. Maybe even before the season, he'll get traded. So there's going to be a lot of difference, a lot of changes in the Brewers this year.
For a window to close for any sports team, it's hard. It's difficult.
Yeah.
But for a small market team that these aren't big free agency signings they did, or they traded the farm to get these guys. They built these guys up from the farm.
Yeah.
And it hurts even more.
Yeah.
And it's that much harder to get back to that place.
It is.
Then you take away a manager that helped you get there in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty hard to say. I think it's pretty easy to say one of the best, if not the best manager in Milwaukee Brewer history.
I cannot think of another manager that had as much success for over the long period of time. Even when they went to the World Series in 82, Harvey Keene was only there for like half the season. And then he didn't stick around very long. So there has not been a Brewers manager that's had this kind of success for this long.
Yeah, there's no precedent for it with that organization. So it hits. And I want to know how you guys feel about that. And, and if you did you have a good run? And obviously there was not a World Series win, so you didn't get what you want in Milwaukee. But I think that you got to be able to take these things as is. You got what you got. You are where you are with this.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the good with the bad. You can appreciate the good and how great this was and, you know, what's to come with this new manager. And I want to talk up a little Pat Murphy and what you guys think of his press conference and everything. Let's hear from you. Good afternoon. You're on the dial.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
All right.
Awesome. I mean, despite only seeing a couple of squirrels in the woods over the weekend, it wasn't too bad. So, Neil said there's nothing hanging in the ground.
Not yet. Not yet. Glad to hear, though, that it went all right. And hopefully you'll get something this weekend. What's on your mind?
Well, the one question, because I'm not really sure on all this tender stuff and contracts. If they don't, you know, be that they're not offering him an extension or his contract, and you put him in a tender, what happens to say maybe halfway through the season next year, and nobody picked him up, could the Brewers get him at a cheaper rate?
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
And maybe try to rehab him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right now it's looking like, according to his agent, that the he's had a couple of teams already reach out. The Mets, Rangers, Red Sox, and Braves, along with the Giants, have reached out to him already.
Wow.
So some of what Seth was talking about before, I think there's some teams that might have a similar idea, and he might be gauging who's going to offer him them. I'm guessing with him, it's a matter of years, not money, on that contract. Who's going to offer him a three-year deal, possibly?
Possibly.
I don't know if anybody will, but maybe he can push for that. Maybe they're negotiating. I know Lance Lynn just did a similar thing with St. Louis. Lance Lynn's back in St. Louis, by the way.
By the way.
That happened. Similar thing there.
Yeah, you know, it kind of stinks that this is happening this way. I mean, I like both Woodruff and Burns both. Mm-hmm. Woodruff, I mean, I think Burns this year didn't have the best year, I think, because, I mean, obviously a lot of things I think probably might have weighed on him a little bit. Not getting the arbitration that he wanted. I feel that the Brewers weren't really honest with him on a lot of things. But on the other hand, though, too, I mean, he's had some good years. Teams are starting to figure him out a little bit. I don't know. It's...
Well,
sometimes do we need a new prospect? You know, you bring in Murphy and fresh start on this, and hopefully go forward. I mean, they got a pretty decent. I mean, it's not the best, but it's a decent farm system right now. They're starting to kind of get back into it after that whole Sabathia stuff.
This is a safe place, right? This is a safe place.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So between the three of us here, and anybody, you know, might be listening out there, I'm going to be real honest with you guys. Over the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, the Milwaukee Brewers have kind of become almost my number one team in baseball.
Wow.
I've seen my Chicago White Sox win a World Series. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed that very much. I got to see my dad and my papa see their Cubs win a World Series. Mm-hmm. I've gotten so much from baseball. I've seen Ricky Henderson, Nolan Ryan, Ken Griffey Jr. I've seen so much. My daughters are both Brewer fans. My brother is a Brewer fan. And I know what the plight is of the Milwaukee Brewers. Mm-hmm. And I've just noticed that myself that I seem to be paying attention to box scores and players more. And little by little, I've just cared more and more about this team than I have my very own in some ways. Mm-hmm. When you talk about this hurting and everything, I feel I get a little of that. But I also don't want to pretend I understand what it's like as a natural Milwaukee Brewer fan. Because it's rough. And it's just somebody who loves baseball, likes seeing small market teams. I hate seeing what's happening to Oakland right now and them losing their team some of this.
Yeah.
I hope that maybe there's a little perspective in Milwaukee Brewer fans in the idea of what the callers here are saying about hope, and also the idea of you're keeping your team. That's a pretty, I mean, I know that it's a low bar, but that's a pretty dang good place to start. And
true.
What you've had to build on. Craig Counsell, there's two angles on this. There's one that says things were that rough in Milwaukee that he would go to a rival. That he would choose that.
Like the rival. Yeah.
That says a lot. I think it says more about the Milwaukee Brewer organization than it does him.
Yeah.
But also that you have the other side of that, too, that the Milwaukee Brewers organization, Craig didn't do that alone. And I'm calling him Craig. Mr. Counsell didn't do that alone.
Buddy Craig here.
We go back. We go back, him and I. No, he didn't do that alone. You know, you've got, half the management team is still there
on that coaching staff.
Everything. So I think you have some hope. I think you do have some things to build on. And you're going to have a lot of money to play with, which doesn't always help you that much, but it ain't going to hurt.
No.
I mean, you're not going to have a lot of money to play with, but, I mean... I know he touched on this a little bit, you know, like last week with, you know, the Brewers had offered Craig, you know, the money, but obviously things, I mean, and even Mike said it on Friday and how things kind of gone downhill after that Josh Hader trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, you talk about, you know, Oakland and you talk about some of these other teams that, you know, are struggling. I mean, us here in Wisconsin, just in Wisconsin alone, with all of our teams that we've had,
I think we've just been spoiled for over the so many years. I mean, having winning teams, you know, not many states are, you know, Iowa can't say it because all they have is football, college stuff. Yeah. They don't have no professional teams down there.
Although Caitlin Clark is a lot of fun to watch. But that's it. That's it. That's end of list.
Yeah, right.
End of list.
But, I mean, we have just been so spoiled as fans that, I mean, when everything is going downhill with our teams, it's like a kick in the gut.
My nephew, Mason, at one point in his room, had up a poster of Christian Yelich, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and who am I forgetting?
A Packers player, probably.
maybe Rodgers. But out of the major sports, just one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in the sport, was playing right here in Wisconsin for a good four-year stretch. And that's not even talking about the 20-some years at quarterback from Favre to Rodgers or Barry Alvarez's years at with the Badgers or some of these other things. Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying. I'm just a little... I'm taken back by it a little because I don't hear that insight very often from not Wisconsin fans. I mean fans.
Just period.
Fans. Just fans. I think that's really smart and insightful. Also very I also think that it's all like we're not going to get this from a lot of callers. I don't expect this from a ton of people out there.
But I'm a passionate fan. I love my teams, but I'm not the one playing the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not going to let it, ruin my day. I mean, it's frustrating. You know, it's frustrating knowing that we could be better. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating, to try to compete, like especially in the Major League Baseball, without having a salary cap. How can we compete with? I mean, but Baltimore and some of these other teams, and even Milwaukee, has proven you don't have to have that $400 million contract or the payroll to win championships. You can have that lesser money as long as you have the guys that want to play together and want to be, learn as they go. You're going to have a winning record. You're going to have a winning team. You're going to have that positivity. It's, you're not going to win, they used to go 161-0 or 162-0, but you're not going to get that. That's just not realistic. Mm-hmm. To get to 100 games sometimes, it's not that easy.
Oh, no, not at all.
So do I want to see the Milwaukee go back to like it was in the 90s when we're barely making 70 wins or 65 wins? No, I don't want to see that because I think you could eventually lose a team because nobody's going to want to go see them. Mm-hmm. But I just want to see the Brewers be competitive. I mean, that just... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm curious
because it's going to go either way, especially in baseball. Baseball is one of those, you could be the best team in baseball and then get swept in the playoffs.
Right. Right. Atlanta. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, it's just get catch the team at the right time and go, and that's just the way baseball is, and that's never going to change.
A big part of the Pat Murphy press conference, I felt, was the Ricky Weeks portion of it. Ricky Weeks going to be a bench coach there, and it looks like it's his
associate
job
manager.
To lose.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I thought that.
I'm not sure.
You,
what does that
Seth.
Mean?
Thank you so much. I did not know what that meant.
I still don't.
I'm going to be honest with everybody. I Googled it just to make sure I wasn't alone on this one. I'm like, wait a minute. That ain't something in baseball, is it? Is this
associate
something?
Manager?
And no, there has not been, as far as Google could tell me, there is nobody in baseball named an associate manager on a bench, but that is what it is.
Yeah,
Ricky Weeks, it looks like, is going to be his job if things go the way that they would like them to. So it's good for Pat Murphy. That's great. He gets this opportunity, and a guy who deserved it, who has earned this. I'm curious to think of what people think of Ricky Weeks. Now, we don't know what he's going to be like as a manager. He's managed one game.
Right.
But we all know him as a player. And players are so divisive. And I find it interesting when a player becomes a manager of a team that he's played for. So I'm curious to see where people think of that as well.
Well, and I never really saw Ricky as being a rah-rah guy. Because sometimes you need to be that as a coach, to get, kind of keep
things. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I never really, when Ricky played with the Brewers, I never really saw that. I saw a person out there that when we needed the hit, he tried his dangest to get us that hit.
Yep.
But I still think the best coach out there is a catcher.
Yeah.
I really
yeah.
mean,
yeah.
Ned Yost, he was a good catcher, but look how he was a pretty dang good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yogi Berra, wasn't he a catcher?
Yep.
Yes, he was. Yep.
Yeah, he was a pretty good coach. You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jonathan Lucroy is apparently getting into the managerial thing or talking about it and stuff. I don't know if he's retired yet, but I know he has talked about it.
Think of some of the best managers out there now. Bruce Bochy. He was a catcher. Yes. Bob Melvin. He was a catcher. Yeah. The guy, Stephen Vogt, who just got hired in Cleveland. Yeah. He's a catcher. Yeah.
Although we could have just stopped at Bochy. Out of all these names, Bochy would have been the one to stop with. It'd been okay with. It's such a good example. I never thought about that before until you guys just started talking about that. That's awesome. That's an interesting aspect.
Yeah, and I look back, on that, because obviously, as a catcher, you had to manage the game as a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's not much difference. I mean, I know Craig was an outfielder and things. Well, no, I'm on first name basis with him too. But
it happens. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
I think you almost have to be be a player to understand the ins and outs of the game. I mean, you know. I played baseball, I played football, I played basketball. Can I go out and coach it? Probably not.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
But, I mean, with these guys, some of these guys, I mean, they're probably born to be in that position. I mean, especially, I mean, I would love to see Craig or Jonathan Lucroy make it.
Me too. I was a big fan.
I think he'll get a chance at some point.
Yeah. Well, especially now. It seems like you don't even have to have any experience sometimes. It's just, hey, if you want to be a coach of a New York team.
Yep. Or Stephen Vogt, for that matter.
Yeah,
he came basically from a player to being a manager, because he think he was still technically a player when he wrapped up. So.
I apologize. He just won Manager of the Year. Schumacher, or who was it?
Skip Schumacher.
In Florida.
Yeah.
You see him, especially because the managers wear a uniform, I'm like, wait a minute. Is he playing?
He looks like he can play. Yeah,
he easily looks like he could still play. Long gone are the days of Tommy Lasorda, Dom Zimmer, some of those guys and everything. You don't know how they even put that uniform on. What size was that? Come on. I'm trying to be mean. I'm just being honest.
Hey, Don Zimmer was a pretty good second baseman in the 50s.
He was
pretty good.
Going back to your guys' point about the players being great managers.
Yeah, exactly.
We all tied it all
together. Yeah, we did. All wrapped in a bow. Yeah,
we always appreciate you, sir. I don't like to keep you too long, but we appreciate your calls every week, man.
All right, guys. You guys have a great week and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Thank you for the call, as always. Appreciate it. Best listeners in radio. Want to send a big shout out to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out and sponsoring this here hour. Thank you to them for that. We appreciate them. Call up. Join the conversation. 715-424-2600. 424-2600. Bob Birkhauser, Assumption High School Athletic Director, going to be joining us to talk a little Cranberry Classic here in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. And just wanted to wrap up a little bit of the MLB free agency. So for those that don't know, just to catch everybody up right away, to kick things off, Charlie Morton re-signed with Atlanta. Nice deal for him. He's going to be making $20 million. They picked up their $20 million option on him, should say.
Is he 39 years old? Wow.
Yeah.
He's aging like fine wine.
And he really is.
Yeah.
They also picked up Aaron Bummer, reliever from, I think he last played with the White Sox, or his first started with the White Sox or something like that. That name. Aaron Bummer is
the
a
headlines.
Tough name.
The headlines for the trade were great.
Would you rather, would you rather your name was Aaron Bum or Bummer? I'd rather Bum. I think I'd rather Bum. I think I would. It's a tough one. This is a tough one. The Brewers, and an uplifting note, I think, acquired Jake Bowers from the Yankees. Wasn't a bad, nice move there. And didn't give up really anything for him, coming from Jeff Passan.
He's a versatile player. He can play the outfield. He can play first base, which apparently is a sinkhole for the Brewers over the last 2 decades. When's the last time they had a solid first baseman, man?
Yeah.
I mean, they thought
Rowdy was going to be
He was going to do that. He had that one, 2 years ago. He had a really great year, hit 30-some homers. But last year, the injuries, and he just couldn't do it. And he can't hit lefties. It's tough. I understand why they also non-tendered him too.
That's a shame. I hate to see that name go.
It's such a great baseball name.
The player is a little tough. I wish him well. He seemed like a good guy, but it's really tough to let that name go.
Yeah.
That name is a really tough one.
He'll find somewhere.
Aaron Nola re-signing with Philly on a $172 million contract over 7 years. My God.
Wow.
Mama's let your kids grow up to be Major League Baseball pitchers.
I guess, man. Oh, wow. I'm kind of surprised. He didn't even really test the market.
No.
He just went right back to Philly.
Philly wants to get – they got a mission. I really think that they are on a mission, that team, and those mm-hmm. players are bought in on that mm-hmm. mission. Because I thought of the same thing, man. I'm like, how is Aaron, at the very least, even if you really in your heart want to sign with Philly, test the water, see if you can get $182 million, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, whatever. Nah, just boom.
Man, I'm telling you, if the Brewers are looking for possibly a decent for first base type, I know he's not a great fielder, but speaking of the Phillies, they just released Reese Hoskins.
Bob.
That was an actor, not a baseball player.
Yes, you're right.
But Reese Hoskins, a good right-handed bat, which the Brewers could use, a power bat, and a first baseman. I'm telling you, he'd be a good fit. Actually, he'd be a good fit in Minnesota, too. But just saying, since we're talking about the Brewers right now, we'll say he'd be a good fit in Milwaukee, I think.
And I think one of the biggest things out there right now is certainly the story of Yoshibu Yamamoto. I don't know if anybody has seen any highlights of this young man yet, but oh, my God.
I mean, he couldn't go anywhere else with the NPB. He's won the last three Cy Youngs. He won the last three pitching triple crowns there. He has to come to the majors because he's dominated his league for so long.
I know he's not the sexy thing that Ohtani was with the hitting and pitching and everything, but this is arguably the best prospect that has ever come over from there.
Especially speaking of pitching, for sure.
Best starting pitcher that has ever prospect that has ever come over.
Possible exception of Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
He might be the best one, though. Yeah,
we're kind of used to the hitters coming over in their late 20s. We've gotten used to that now. But the pitchers come over and they don't usually take the world by storm. Maybe a season or two. This guy looks like the real deal if health stays on his side.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, somebody is going to be bringing in quite the get.
Yes. And think about something to think about when you bring in foreign players, especially big ones from Japan. I mean, you're not only bringing a great player, you're bringing so many eyeballs to your team. Think about all of Japan. Every time there's a big star that comes to the United States, look at the amount of Japanese press that follow them around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's astonishing.
Yeah.
Because so you're not only bringing that. I mean, you're bringing more than just a player. You're getting lots of extras that come along with it. So something to consider.
It's pretty incredible mm-hmm. when you think about what this guy has already accomplished and what this guy could accomplish mm-hmm. here. I'm very excited about that.
Except he's probably going to end up with either Boston or New York. I just get this feeling
I wanted to wrap up before we go to commercial, okay, Seth. Right. Because I know that is the inclination. I know mm-hmm. that's the feeling I have right away, too. But we've also seen a number of these players sign with the Seattle Mariners, mm-hmm. with the Los Angeles, Santa Cruz, Santa Barbara Angels. We've seen them sign with not so much.
The Ron Washington team. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It's so insane. Man, get you an agent like Ron Washington has. Whatever industry you are in, whatever you are doing in your life, get whoever Ron Washington's representation is, get them for you.
You'll get paid. Yeah, you'll get yours.
Yeah, man, it doesn't matter what your history looks like. You're going to find some work. It's incredible. Incredible job by that agent.
Oh, boy.
We will take a break right here. We're going to come back, and we'll be speaking with Bob Brickhauser. You're going to be joining us to talk a little Cranberry Classic. We'll also talk a little bit. I want to get into Wisconsin high school football playoffs wrapped up on Friday.
Ooh, okay.
Want to cover that a little bit. And, of course, talk some Packers, talk some NFL, maybe some Badgers or whatever else you want to talk about right here on Playmakers. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. You have Seth and James, and we are joined right now by a legend, Sir Bob Brickhauser, with us right now from Assumption High School. Bob, it has been a while. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking, and thank you for having me on your program.
We're here to talk a little bit about the Cranberry Classic. Looking forward to that, Bob. Before we do that, I do want to give you a shout-out and a congratulations on the MVP award that you received this past week. I don't want to embarrass you. I know you don't want to talk about it, but I did want to get it out there. It's my job, Bob. I report on these things. We're really proud of you, sir, and it couldn't go a very, very, very respectful award. Go into the right person. There's a lot of great nominees up there. You deserve this, sir, and I'm glad to see you get the recognition.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. I very much appreciated the award. It was quite an honor. I mean, yeah. I think what you say, and I mean this sincerely. You know, you don't do all this stuff for awards. You do it because you know you have just for a love of athletics and so forth.
Yeah.
But it was a very nice evening. Most of my family was there, and I was very, very grateful for the recognition.
I'm thankful to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media recording it, putting it on their page, encouraged people to subscribe to their page and support local. It was a great video to watch. I happened to catch the end of it, your speech, and you not wanting to do it. And I thought that, I was like, you know, that's the Bob I know. That's the, I'm like, can I just take the award? I don't really want to talk. I don't really. Appreciate the Sports Commission with all their recognition of all the great people that they recognize there. Our good friend who joins us week to week, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman, Brian Wendt, and John Kronmacher, all of them. Give a big shout out to all of them. And of course, Bob is with us right now. And Bob, now we're done talking about it. We can talk about the Cranberry Classic now.
Just let me say they're all very deserving. And you don't go to that expecting to win. So you're not prepared for an acceptance speech. You know, that was,
I'd be in the same boat. We have the Cranberry Classic kicking off this Friday and Saturday. The event will go on at Assumption High School, right in their gymnasium. Girls and boys variety. Varsity and JV basketball games kick off at 9. Bob, who are the teams this year that we can feature?
Well, on the boys' side, I'll start there because it's been the same team for quite a few years. We have Columbus Catholic, Nakusa, Port Edwards, and Assumption. So it has a very, very local flavor. Mm-hmm. On the girls' side, we have Assumption, Columbus Catholic, Nakusa's coming back with their girls' team this year, and then for the first time in the tournament, we're having Wyawega Fremont take
part. How did that work out that they ended up joining us this year?
Well, we had two teams last year that we knew were probably only going to be there 1 year. One was Merrill, the other was Leona Wabino. And when I have to profess a little bit of ignorance here. I don't know exactly how Joe does it, but I think what you do is you put it out on the WIA website that you need teams, okay? And I think it may be more complicated than that, but that's as much as I need to know about it.
Right on. Yeah, it's all we know. It's good. Great matchups right here to kick things off. We have Port an Assumption facing off for the first matchup with the boys. That's going to be a good one.
Should be a good matchup, yes.
Who is the first matchup on the girls' side? I see Assumption. Oh, Assumption and Port for both sides.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. And so it's going to be a nice start to the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. It should kick it off very well on both sides. And we start with the girls in the morning with the JV teams, and then we have the girls' varsity games immediately after that at noon and 1:30. I think it's 11:30 and 1:30. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the boys follow with the JV boys games at 3 and 4:15, and then the varsity games after that at 6 and 8. Although we're going to try this year, to start the last game maybe 20 minutes after the completion of the preceding game, just to, because in the chance that you have a space there, get everybody on their way home.
Yeah.
So
I was wondering over the years, and just a quick reminder to those new listeners out there, Bob, how long have you been doing this?
Well, we've had a Cranberry Classic since 1985. Mm. And it started out as a boys tournament for four boys basketball teams. In fact, my second oldest son, Mark, played in the very first one.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And then in 1997, when my son Joe became athletic director at Assumption, he had the idea of making this into, well, for lack of a better term, into a fundraiser, mm-hmm. And and we added the girls' teams. We added a more elaborate concession stand, some halftime activity, stuff like that. And so, and it has been very successful. We have we really have nice crowds. And it's, I don't know, maybe people don't have anything else to do with the Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to do something, right? Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Whatever the reason, we appreciate them being there. We do. We really have some very nice crowds. Like, you know, on the for the, especially in the evenings when I'm sure more people are available, we'll have a pretty full gym.
Yeah, this is an all-day event. You can come by all day and come and go and enjoy the day of basketball, great high school basketball.
Exactly. We start at 9 o'clock in the morning with the first JV girls game, and we go until, well, approximately 8 o'clock we start the last boys varsity game. So,
there's going to be some great food for you there, too. You're going to be hanging out there. We want to make sure that you're eating, that you're fed, that you got good to drink. So there's plenty of great concessions down there and a lot of good local concessions, I should say.
That is correct, yes. Tara Dillman, very graciously does the concession stand for us and a lot of other things. She's just an amazing asset.
She wears a lot of hats over there. She does.
And she does a great job with the concession stand. For many years, Elaine Skibba did it, and she also did a very nice job. So we've been very, very fortunate. We've been very fortunate to have an excellent concession stand. People tend to hang around. And then, you know, our admission for adults is $5 for the day, so you
can't beat that.
You know, that's like comes out to what 57 cents a game or something.
Yeah, right, right.
And great basketball too. I mean, all these teams are great, well put together squads. But we know what the Assumption girls do. We know what the pedigree is over there, and what we get when we get to see them play. Let alone in a tournament setting, which I think as a diehard basketball fan and a lot of ball heads out there know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's always fun. We just saw this in college basketball with the tournaments they have and everything. Exactly. It can be a lot of fun part of a basketball season is these mini tournaments that go on. The Cranberry Classic's one of our favorites.
Well, thank you.
We have also a 50-50 raffle in there. I throw that out there because I know how much our community loves raffles. So we will have that there as well. It's going to be a really fun event, Bob.
We do the raffles at the Assumption girls and boys varsity games, and we not only have the 50-50 aspect, but we give away some cranberry products that are generously donated by Elm Lake Cranberry and by Crab Hill Cranberry.
We will be covering these games for you. We have a kicking off. Our tip-off will be at 6:40, or 7:40, I'm sorry, on WIRI for Port Edwards at Assumption for the boys' side. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, we will have the Assumption or Port Edwards taking a continuation of that. We'll also have the final game as well of the 39th Annual Cranberry Classic. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
Very good. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
We're going to enjoy it, Bob. You enjoy yourself. And one more time, congratulations again on the 23 MVP Sports Commission Award.
Well, thank you very much.
We appreciate the time. Already looking forward to hanging out with you again next year, okay?
All right. I'll look forward to it also. All right.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate you.
Sure.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with more Playmakers here on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, and sending a big thank you and shout out to our good friend Bob Birkhauser for joining us from Assumption Athletics. Great to talk to Bob.
Yeah, that's great. And the Cranberry Classic is so cool. You know, I've only been in town for a few years here, but I understand now how big this is. So yeah. It's a very cool event.
It's so,
I get to be a part of it this year, too. That's kind of cool.
That is really cool. Yeah. We enjoy having this tournament in town. We have a tournament in town. I mean, that's just cool.
That's neat, yeah.
And I'm glad you actually brought that up, Seth, because I have heard from some listeners, and one of them, including my father, really likes what you're doing with the board. Keep up the great work.
Not doing much, but okay.
We've been very fortunate. We've had some great people running that board for a long time and everything. So nice work by you. And we want to hear from all of you. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. What do you guys want to talk about? Some Badgers, some Packers? Where would you like to go? Mm-hmm. You leave it up to me. Who knows where we're going to go?
all over the place.
I did want to, as long as we are leaving it open, let's go ahead and talk a little Badgers. They were victorious over the weekend, beating Nebraska 24-17. Nice victory for the Badgers, where you didn't get a lot of those this year.
Ooh,
guaranteeing a sixth win, which means you are bowl eligible. You're not going to get to a playoff bowl game, obviously. You're not going to get the bowl game maybe a lot of your fans, fan base wants out there, but you are getting a bowl game.
Yes.
You are more than likely. There are 90,000 bowl games, so you're definitely going to get one.
You're going to play some obscure school from Utah, maybe. But, you know, you get a bowl game.
You're probably going to play a school you never heard of.
Yeah.
That may happen.
You'll be looking up, where is that school now?
Utah A&M. What? I didn't even know they had an A&M Utah. But, yes, you're going to be playing them in maybe even in a state that you've never heard of.
True.
or something like that. But
with a weird name bowl. But it's a bowl. It's a bowl.
It's a bowl that gives not only these players and this coaching staff one more game to work together, especially when you need that, as we've seen.
Yes,
but it also it's more money for the team. It's more money for the
the program. Yeah,
the program. Yeah. I wanted to say organization. I really did.
Actually, you're not.
I'm not
really.
That far
is more
off,
like
really.
That, isn't
I'm
it?
Not, yeah. I'm not. But so that's good. And it gives you that momentum going into one of the bigger games of the season because you throw out the if you don't really care about records, Minnesota Wisconsin is the. Is that the big? I think that it's pretty safe to say that's the biggest rival for Wisconsin now.
I think it's got to be.
You can say Ohio State. You can say Illinois. Yeah. You can throw those things out there, but those games have not really been competitive for in one direction or the other, whether in favor of Wisconsin or not, in Ohio State's case and in Illinois' case, in both of these directions. I think that the Minnesota, the Paul Bunyan axe game has been the biggest game for Wisconsin and Minnesota for quite a while now.
I agree. I absolutely agree that, yeah.
So going into this, I think it's going to be quite interesting to see how this goes for not only for the Luke Fickell era in the beginning of that, but possibly at the end of another era in Minnesota with P.J. Fleck. P.J. Fleck, this is a really wild thing about coaching. And if I told you in a month or two from now that P.J. Fleck was just fired, not many people would be surprised. If I told you P.J. Fleck just left Minnesota to take the Texas A&M job or said job, insert name, nobody would be surprised by that either. It's just wild. This guy has done a nice job there.
Right.
He's also burned some bridges there and hasn't necessarily set the world on fire.
No.
It's just weird. It's a weird scenario, and it speaks to coaching in general and that we don't know what we're doing with hiring coaches.
No, we don't. We're not going to get into the Jim Harbaugh thing here because there's no point to it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's the same thing there. He could leave right off and go to a NFL team. I mean, it could be very possible. Because I just don't, you know, you're so right, though. Coaching is such a weird thing. It's such a weird
spot
right now.
We don't know what we're doing. We pretend we know, and as soon as the guy wins, like Bruce Bochy wins a bunch and everything, we saw this coming. You knew it. But no, we don't know. We don't know.
We have no clue.
It's going to be very interesting to see how that situation goes. The coaching carousel, how it goes.
Yeah.
Especially, a lot of people were curious, well, why fire Jimbo Fisher now? In the middle of the season, all that, because it is all about signing day. It's all about signing day. And the sooner you let go of these guys, you got recruits that you're trying to bring in.
Right.
And Jimbo has been good at, that's one of the few things he was good at, was recruiting. So now you're trying to keep those recruits that he just brought in. You got to build that. And you got to show them some structure. Moms and dads most moms and dads are not going to let their kids go play for a coach, whether it's an hour away or five hours away, for a coach that there's not stability, a university that there's not stability in. So you've got to build that, show that before ESPN's big signing day that's in a month or two from now, and you got to build to that.
You
no longer are worried about just winning national championships anymore. You want to win signing day. There's two big championships that you want to win in college football, and it's signing day, and it's the big one at the end of the game. They don't have a name for it really, but the college football championship,
and the thing,
and it's debatable which one's more important to your university.
With the way things go, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, man.
How many people care about Texas A&M football outside of the great state of Texas?
I mean, even how many people in Texas actually care about it, considering all the other teams in Texas.
But, man, we have known about Jimbo Fisher and Jimbo Fisher's contract for three seasons now. because of how important the Vet stuff is and how he has won recruiting day time and time again. How, or at least he did once, and he's been up, the Texas A&M has been in the top five of recruiting classes. These kids care about that stuff. They want to pull the hat out. They want to do that. They want to make a big deal out of these things. ESPN, sure as heck, wants to. So now you've got to make a decision on these coaches quick. And decide, okay, is it time to pull the Band-Aid off so that we can get back to the recruiting trail?
Right.
Because we got to get a new guy in there and show that these moms and dads and these kids, we've got some stability here. We deserve to have your child bring his talent to our university.
Right. Right.
It's wild. It's wild, man.
It's wild and woolly.
And then you throw in there, oh, by the way, now we can pay these kids. Not us. Oh, not the university. Oh, no. Not the actual organizations that could do this.
Right.
We're not going to pay them. We're going to expect local businesses and, you know, and not just them. Nike and some other places are going to pitch in,
too.
Yes. Awfully nice of them.
awfully nice.
Everything is wild right now with college athletics.
Yeah.
And it really is just as wild, it's always been just as wild with the coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. But it seems right now we're in this really weird period. It seems like we're in a transition period. I have no idea to what. Mm-hmm. But there's stuff going on. I mean, with all the conference shuffling and all these other things, you've been saying it for as long as I've known you. You know, when is it going to, the NCAA finally just going to like halt, pack it in?
Just,
you know,
pack it in.
Just say, there's no one cares anymore. No one's paying attention. We're done. Kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm looking for them to go to the, just in college football, I'll say, just going to the NFL and saying, look, you take it.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
You take it. We're done. You guys do something with this. Let's just get this out of the way. Let's finally say the quiet part out loud. This is AAA football.
Yep.
It's AAA football.
That's all it is.
Let's just make it what it is. We can keep the pageantry. We can keep all the pageantry.
Yeah. Keep the names. Keep all that stuff. Right.
Keep everything the same. Just let the NFL kind of do what it does.
Yeah.
Just let them basically take this over. Now, that's going to change it from a college athletic to a business. I understand
that. To a professional thing, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how is that going to be any different for the viewer? You know,
it's not.
I mean, you know, what is that really going to truly change?
No.
You already, any debate you want to have about this, I can counter with what's actually happening right now. It doesn't.
Just making it official. That's all we're doing.
I don't even have to bring up stats and this year this or this number that or anything. Like, just look at literally what's happening right now and what has been happening for quite some time.
It's finally just revealing it, you know, just like, look at the bottom. They're actually saying, you know, now look behind the curtain, you know. Pay attention to the man behind the curtain there.
I will say it makes a game that would be exciting anyway, a little more exciting, I think, between Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it taking place in Minnesota is always exciting to me because I think that they have a very unique stadium.
Yeah, that new stadium is really interesting.
I think it's kind of a cool one. I think it's a good one. Mm-hmm. Part of what I love about college sports is the locations.
That makes the variety, you know, like the one of a kindness of each of the places.
If you've never seen Washington University Stadium, do yourself a favor and take a look. I would play there just to be able to play in that stadium eight games or six games a year or whatever, let alone to see Michael Penix right now, who is just one of the more fun athletes in college football to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good. We'll have that game for you, of course. Wisconsin taking on Minnesota, Minnesota taking out Wisconsin. The battle for Paul Bunyan's ass.
Yes. I love games that have a thing.
Yes.
They're fighting for. Because Minnesota's got the same thing with Michigan with the jug, the little brown jug, which they play for every year. But those are the fun games to me.
One of my favorite games of all time was playing NCAA football. Back when that used to be a thing. It's gone.
Yeah, the video game, right, yeah.
My video game friends out there, though, are going to be excited because they are bringing it back in 2024. They've worked it out to where they can.
Because now they can use the names.
Yeah.
Legally.
It's
pretty
cool.
Which before, they used the names, but it wasn't legal.
Back, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd have a guy who was basically Ron Dane, his height, his weight, where he was from, all that, just not his name.
Yeah, Ron Dine.
Yeah, exactly.
Rod Dine.
Yeah. That's going to be exciting. But the Illinois and Northwestern used to actually play for the Peace Pipe, and they had to get rid of that and change it and everything. But I always thought that was one of the cooler trophies.
That's
to play
a good
for
one.
And everything. It's if not my favorite one of, and not my favorite because obviously the player is always going to be my favorite. But top three favorite things about college football was what these games,
these
that they,
things they would play for. Yeah. The rivalry game.
Let's go ahead and take a call. Good afternoon. You're on the show. Hello?
Yeah, oh, they're gone.
Oh, we lost you. Call back, 424-2600. We'd love to hear from you, 424-2600. So that's college football. Going to be interesting to see where that goes. I think we can go from college to pros, if you don't mind, Seth.
Not at all.
Because I want to get to at least two things in the pro game.
Okay.
First, let's talk Packers. Let's go in and get into the game. Packers won a game that I don't think everybody on the – everybody had in their confidence pool. The Chargers aren't a bad team. Got a lot of talent on that team. They just can't get out of their own way.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was very much on display on Sunday.
One of the greatest receivers of the last 15 years, Keenan Allen, and it's not a stretch to say that. He's just been wasted away in San Diego. Yeah. But he's been consistent and been good. He has a couple of plays that just are unrecognizable to him, mm-hmm. Where a ball you could hear, you could actually listen, if you listen to watch the highlight, you can hear the ball hit his chest. It's so hard. Justin Herbert, man, what a quarterback.
Heck of an arm.
But it hits, he drops. One of those balls is caught by Johnson or Allen. It could be a different game.
I'm pretty sure the Chargers would have won that game, yeah.
But that's that.
Yeah.
So you win a game that you don't always win. Yeah. And that's nice. That's got to be a good feeling for a young team and for a team like a young quarterback in Jordan Love. I wanted to talk about two things about that game. One, I like those jerseys.
Yeah, I like the throwback ones. Yeah,
I liked them. Am I alone? Because I didn't hear from a whole lot of people.
I like them.
One way or the other.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear from people out there if they liked them. I think they got to keep doing that every year.
And I'm a sucker for that stuff, though.
Me too. I'm a big sucker for it. I love Detroit's too. I like Detroit's.
Yes.
I thought those were good too. But I want to get into Jordan Love a little bit, and I don't want to. I don't want to over dissect this young man because it's hard to do this for a player that has only started not even a full NFL season of games mm-hmm. yet.
Right.
But I do think that you do notice certain things. And I brought up Justin Herbert. And I think that pretty early on you saw with Justin Herbert, he's a great. I'm not saying by great legend, NFL Hall of Famer, anything like that. I just mean in the average of average, good, great. We're just looking at a simple list here of average, good, great. That's it. Justin Herbert, right away, oh, he's great.
Mm-hmm.
That, he's got something. That he's got it, whatever words you want to use, whatever verbs you want to throw out there. I have been watching Jordan Love. I watched him in college. I liked him in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched him in the pros, his preseason games, and I've watched this. And then to get into this take, I wanted to make sure that I went back and watched some more of his stuff. And I have not seen much of an evolution from this young man from Utah State to here, from his mechanics and on. I think he's a good quarterback. I think good quarterbacks have been proven to win you Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's a great. And when you've gone from great, from Favre to Rodgers, who are both greats, I'm curious to know how that works for a fan base. And especially when you're a small market team where you can't bring in all the big free agents. So, yes, you can win a Super Bowl. You can win playoff games with good quarterbacks. But traditionally, you do that because you're Baltimore or New York or somebody that can bring in big free agents.
Yep.
You've got to do it through the draft. And I don't know that we've seen them prove, given you enough data, that they can prove that they, as a small market team, with a good quarterback, not great, not Hall of Fame quarterback, that you can bring in the talent to be competitive every year to win a Super Bowl, which is what matters in Green Bay. They don't care about playoff wins in Green Bay.
They call themselves Title Town. I mean,
that's what I've been told. I'm not saying that arrogantly or to throw it in people's faces. I mean, I'm being respectful here. I'm trying to be respectful about this to Packer fans. That's what I've been told my whole life, whether I've lived in Wisconsin or not. That's what matters to Packer fans. The Super Bowls miss me with, we made it to the playoffs or we won the NFC North. That's what they care about.
Mm-hmm.
Can you win a Super Bowl with a team like that? Looking ahead here, and especially when you're going to have a high draft pick and you're going to have a decision to make when one of these quarterbacks drops, because it always happens in every NFL draft. They tell me they're going to go in the top three. I've been watching every NFL draft for 40 some years, and when a quarterback slips, like an Aaron Rodgers or a Jordan Love, slips, you're going to have to make that decision.
Yep.
Gutekunst and these guys, do you stay pat, or do you go with the new guy? Do you go with one of these kids that slips? I'm very curious to see how this plays out with this, and I'm curious, even more curious, to know what you guys think out there.
Well,
424-2600.
You know, it really depends on if they are committed to the Jordan Love experiment. Like you said, he's not even played an entire season yet, and he's still getting his feet under him. He's not played for a couple of years in any type of regular, whatever you want to call it. If they are committed to that, then you're right. They have to figure out what do they need. And for me, I'm not a GM or anything like that, but you need a better defense. If with a good defense and a good quarterback, you can win a Super Bowl, like you've said. Yes. You can do that. You can.
Cleveland is showing that right now.
Yeah, and they've got a less than average quarterback right now, and they still won the game because their defense is so good. But that's what I'm thinking, that that's what you're going to have to do. Or, like you said, does the opportunity arise where it's, oh, can we get this guy? And then that would just kind of blow everything up. But, I mean,
with the amount of draft picks they've spent on that defense, it's insane that you and the audience is probably saying the same thing. That's crazy to me to think of. As far as late bloomers, because I don't want to completely say that Jordan Love is going to be only – like his ceiling is only good.
Yeah.
He could be great. There are late bloomers. There are history of it. There was a great article at thesportsdrop.com that I was reading about James Harrison, Adam Thielen, late bloomers. Mm-hmm. We all know the great story of Kurt Warner.
Probably the best known example,
Yeah. They also had on this list Steve Young and Aaron Rodgers. I don't think those count. They were late bloomers because they didn't get a chance to play right away. Yeah. Nobody was questioning their greatness or that they had the potential to be great.
Right.
I don't think it was a shocker when those two worked out there. It was just they were playing behind greatness themselves in Joe Montana and Brett Favre.
By the way, one of my favorite all-time pictures, maybe it was an NFL, maybe it was a card, of Steve Young in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers
uniform. Oh, yeah, it's a great
one. That's one of my all-time favorite pictures.
When the NFL meets this winter and talk over the next season, there's two things they have to do. They have to make it mandatory for these billionaire owners to make grass stadiums, only grass, and they got to get rid of the hip drop tackle. We've seen in college football two players go down this week, two greats. We saw it in the pros, a couple of them, and Mark Andrews and some others. Mm-hmm. They got to get rid of the hip drop tackle. It's unnecessary. You should be able to tackle without dropping your weight. You should be able to do it. If you can't do it, get back in the locker room, learn how to tackle right.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. It's unnecessary. And to not have grass fields is ridiculous. And miss me with the idea that you care about the NFL being safer. You're safe.
Yep.
You just care about it being safer. You don't care about it being safe.
Well, and you know, it's funny because I was watching, because I'm weird, I was watching an old football game from the 80s. Mm. And they were talking about artificial, when it was really becoming into its own, artificial surface. Mm. And the reason why the game's faster is on artificial surface, because you can make cuts better on if you're running back and stuff like that. But you're right. I don't want to see any more injuries like this.
Yeah.
How many Achilles tears have there been this year?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's bad for the game. Bad for the game.
We're losing the best of players because of these unnecessary reasons.
Yeah.
We are going to Fort Myers now. Tip off. We've got Wisconsin men's basketball versus Virginia. Part of this great tournament that's going on.
Yeah.
A lot of tournament basketball during Thanksgiving week.
This time, yeah. You know it.
It's so much fun. I can't wait. Great show, brother.
Yeah, nice thanks. Job. It was fun.
Shout out to Bob Brickhauser for joining us as well, and all you callers, thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you next week, and a big thank you, of course, to Quality Post Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5.